You're invited to join me in the real deal. Well, you'll learn how to own that remodeling job and get paid what you're worth. This is my signature two-day training for serious interior designers who want to bring consistently high-profit remodeling jobs into their business. For complete information and tickets, go to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. See you there. I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. Hey, my guest today is Heather McManus. She's the creator and CEO of Designers Collaborative, and she's also an IDBA alumni, which makes it really fun to have her back and talk again as we worked together before. Hi, Heather.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Terry.
I'm so glad you're here. It's so fun to see you again and talk to you.
Yes.
Really fun. Okay. So, Heather, you know, one of the most overlooked pieces in designers' businesses is really the back room. It's where the profit lies. It's where the profit in those juicy furniture jobs lie. And it often gets ignored by designers or even, I think sometimes there's not even an awareness that you could do better. And that somehow all this sourcing thing just turns into a shopping trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's not where it's at, right?
Definitely not.
Yeah. It needs to be a bit of a mindset shift where we realize that we need to know who the vendors are that we work with, and we need to have a profit line that would make sense. Because shopping, whether it's on the internet or, you know, at the local mall, you know, Pottery Barn does not give you enough money to actually run a business on. Okay. If you're relying on that sort of stuff, you're always going to be broke. You're going to be stuck forever. So Heather came up with a pretty good answer. I mean, we talked about this, what, 5-6 years ago, how this could work. And now it's a reality. Tell us about what you're doing, Heather.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So thank you, Terry, for helping me mold it, because it was an idea. And I thought it had legs. And when you said, yeah, this is something to go for, and it's missing right now. There's no solution, and you've come up with it. So go for it. So thank you for giving me the courage to go out there and make it happen, because I needed it for myself. I was shopping and I had heard about the difference between shopping and sourcing, but it seemed like a leap. And so when I started to get into the world of going direct to the vendor instead of a local store and, you know, trying to increase the amount of money that I was making, it was definitely a challenge. And doing it as a sole proprietor or even with a small firm, I think is still too challenging. So we are a buying collective, otherwise known as a buying group. We have 500 members in the Designers Collaborative.
Wow.
So it's big. It's really big. It's got real power behind it. And, you know, we at the end of the year, I'm excited because we send out a survey to our account holders who place the orders for these 500 members. And we ask them, like, how much you did in sales. And to come back and figure out that we did, you know, 5 or 6 million last year. So this year we may be doing, like, you know, and we're not making a cut from that. We make money on the membership. So you join, that's what the monies that me and my partner make to run the whole thing and, you know, sustain everything.
And let me jump in there and say that that is not a lot. It's actually just several hundred dollars. And I say this to all of my students, that you need to be over here, because the first order you place will pay off that membership fee tenfold, probably. I mean,
it's a
no-brainer.
Right? Yeah, one rug or one room of wallpaper and it's paid for.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, you know, and a sofa means you've definitely made money plus paid for your membership fee. And it's $5.99. So it's not outrageous. It's an easy, it's really a no-brainer for the amount of money that you wind up making.
Yeah. Yeah. Because really, you know, we worry about how much we charge in fees and you know, and I'm all about the money. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're clear about that. That's, you know, I want designers to get paid what they're worth. And this is one of the key ways that you get paid what worth.
Oh, like, yeah.
Fees, we talk about all these other pieces, but this backside of the business is incredibly important. I mean, this is essentially your storefront.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a bricks and mortar thing. The, you know, your vendors that you sell would be those pieces of furniture that would be in your showroom. Well, who is it and how much are you making on those things?
Because yeah.
That's incredibly important.
Yeah. When I shifted from shopping to sourcing, my income increased tremendously. Yeah. And the group being, you know, 500 members, we also have over 300 vendors. I'm sorry, I said 500. It's 500 members with 300 vendors.
Huh? Okay.
So now I've got creative freedom to source, you know, a sofa from company A, occasional tables for company B, and then, you know, lamps from another company and all the accessories from two other companies. So, you know, in one room project, you can source seven different vendors easily and get the best price.
Yeah, because these are all stocking dealer prices, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's the best price tier. Yeah, that you will get out there.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's clarify what that actually means. Because I think a lot of designers don't understand all that languaging around, you know, we need some units here by DBA about that too. But essentially, you know, the retail deal where you get 10 or 20% off, okay, we know what that is. You can't run a business on that. And then there's the designer net, which is usually what? 20, 30% off, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Then there's wholesale for like 50%.
Mm-hmm. 50% or half the cost. And then stocking dealer, which is way better than that.
Oh, way better. Yeah. You're, you know, to buy a sofa at stocking dealer, if it retailed at $3,000, your cost is going to be $1,000 because it's a 3x markup. And that's tremendous because even if they're, is a website somewhere that you can buy that from, which is hard to do in upholstery still, thankfully. You know, it takes actual phone calls instead of just pressing a button. You can still mark it up so well and give the client a good discount and kind of match what you're seeing online and be totally fine making tons of profit for yourself.
Exactly. And if you're part of my crew, you're not going to discount that either. You're going to go out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our nemesis, Restoration Hardware, you know, we really wish didn't do what they do. However, setting the price standard and it's very high and there's never a sale. Right. And the whole idea that using a designer to do this for you, to create this beautiful piece and do all the white glove service that we provide and have it at a discount is ridiculous. It's silly. Absolutely silly. So, you know, the point of this is there's this big, wide piece of profit in there that designers can take advantage of if you know how. And the know-how is sitting over here with Heather at Designers Collective.
Yeah, we make it easy. We make it easy to shift from shopping to sourcing so that suddenly you have the ability to have access to all those vendors. You're going to make the best profit because we've got the stocking dealer prices on those. And then on top of that, we've got an amazing community that will help you when, you know, Mrs. Jones shows you the Restoration Hardware catalog. We probably know who makes that sofa because it's not Restoration Hardware. So you could buy it, you know, through the group and make a lot more money. And even if she's insisting on that, then, you know, you can still get that answer. And then we have tools as well. Like you know, you need to know your good, better, best vendors. We have tools for that. And we go into like even a step further with what we call the ultimate source guide. Mm-hmm. So that's a tool that we created because everyone was asking for it. They're like, okay, 300 vendors is too much. I've fallen down into a 3-hour time period and I've lost the sofa and it's $8,000 when we needed something for $3,000. So you know, so we created this tool so you can look up by price point. So, you know, low, medium, high, and then also by style.
Yes.
You need just modern, just mid-century, just traditional. We have a column for that. So, you know, you've narrowed down where you want to shop and the time that you're going to spend based on this spreadsheet, which is, it covers all the categories. So you've got upholstery, case goods. Once you get into rugs, usually like the company does everything. So we're not necessarily specking out, well, they only do modern rugs. No, they kind of do everything. So, but even just the price point of low, medium, high.
It's hugely.
Huge time saver. Yeah.
Differs from Surya and a custom woven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
Night and day. Yeah.
Art in two different places. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's going to help a lot.
Because
300 vendors uncategorized would be challenging. But 300 vendors that you could search and get down to 4 or 5 would be great.
Because,
you know, that's about how much time you have to find these pieces. It can't, you know, it's not like you look at everything in the country before you make a decision. You just can't do it.
Right.
Nobody's going to pay you for that. Isn't going to happen. Cool. Right. So I think one of the most positive and important things that we do here at IDBA is to get our students focused on the idea that they need to know who their good, better, and best vendors are.
Yeah.
I mean, not wait till you have the client and then scramble for it, because that's not, you're going to be deer in the headlights and it's going to show and you're not going to have the confidence. And then if you don't have the confidence, you don't get hired, right? So what would really work so nicely within your program is that you can get in there and look at those vendors and see who's in there and actually choose who, you know, who's going to be your upholstery vendor at good level and at better level and at best. What are your go-tos? Because, you know, after you've done that little bit of homework up front, you start getting much more solid in what those products are and what they are, you know, and when you go to market, you know, you can look at them, go sit in them, touch them, feel them, stroke them. You know, that was what I would do at market is, you know, is just get familiar with the product so that I could specify it and sell it with confidence because I knew what it was.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you have the knowledge and you know, this vendor sits this way, this vendor sits that way, and sell it with the confidence. So going to High Point is a very important thing for designers. Yeah.
It is. However, it may not be, and I'll bring this point up. We were chatting about this before. It was not to your advantage to walk in the door of your vendor and say, oh, I brought a designer's collaborative. Those now that the vendor hires salespeople and they represent different areas and their feeling about it is they might be feeling like they're getting squeezed out of your order because you're over there and their account's over here. And, you know, there's some odd things in there, but certainly, you know, it's not something you want to wave under anybody's nose because, you know, there's a little bit of pushback from, I think, the furniture community a bit. But it's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like ride sharing. You know, the taxi drivers don't like Uber, right? But we use both have a place. You know, so, you know, I think it's just being aware of that and being gentle with your approach into that.
Yeah. We counsel everybody going to High Point not to say anything about the buying group or, you know, TDC in general, you know, just walk in and say, I want to see your product. Let me see what you have to offer and go and explore.
Exactly. And it's not any of their business that you're doing that. And it's not that we're trying to hide it either.
Right.
It's just that it goes against the flow of what they've always done, what the furniture guys and have always done in the past. And, you know, they don't change things very quickly or often, sort of thing. So we don't want to flip them upside down. We just want to do what we do and do it nicely. And they get the business in the end. So, you know, nobody's getting squeezed out at all. The thing that I would advise people is in local showrooms, if you're buying something that's in a local showroom in your town and you're showing your client that product in somebody else's showroom, in my world, you have an obligation to buy it from them. Okay?
Absolutely. I worked on commission and I know what that's like.
Yeah.
If you're using someone's time, buy it from them. And I have a lot of designers in the group that will say, you know, I like my sales rep. So every once in a while, even though I make less money I'd send them a couple orders every year to keep in good standing with them. And then, you know, for the really big order, I order through the group because I'm going to make so much more money there. So you can do both.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, respect the fact that they are in commission and they are paying for this space. And
yep.
Thing, and that you have the ability to buy it better. But, you know, morally do the right thing.
Right.
Stay Absolutely. In the place here, because this is an enormous advantage to your business. We look at people's, you know, profit lines and, you know, what margins they're running, and people who are doing shopping and just picking up little commissions here and there and going, oh, you know, it's okay. Well, it may be okay, but, you know, you're going to end up working 60 hours a week and making $40,000 a year. You know, you might as well work for Pottery Barn and you'd have insurance, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, right? So this is something that's very, very important to learn, how to get into it, right? And how to do that. Now, I think one of the other things that your company does is pretty cool is that you do a lot of education and support in the background to help our designers learn purchasing. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an onboarding series of emails that everybody gets when they join because they come in at different levels. So you might have somebody who's been in business for 30 years, but they've only shopped. They haven't really sourced. So we have to, you know, change their thinking around a little bit and how they do things. So we have plenty of videos that we do share. We have an orientation to go through where, you know, just learning our system will take a minute. So with 300 vendors and a whole new way of doing things, it takes a second to kind of learn that. So I have a video that you watch so you learn where and how to make it easy for yourself. You can even make it pretty by adding color to it and all this kind of stuff. So we felt like we needed a second orientation where you come in live and it's a meeting with me. And, you know, everybody who wants to come in that month comes. So once a month, we do a live orientation where it's just ask your questions.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, you know, you got a little start and then you come up against something. So that's a great opportunity for everyone to come in at any time and ask away on whatever it be. How do I find my receiver? So we have a whole list for that. We have a whole document of like what you can expect to pay for these things, shipping from here, you know, based on this, you know, what about damages? We have a whole system in place for things because, you know, you come in at any level and you can learn all of these things, but we're not just going to let you learn it on your own. We want you to have the support and that knowledge so that you're really confident and comfortable using it. Because if you didn't have the answers to those questions, you might say, all right, I know I'm going to make more here, but I'm afraid, so I won't do it. Mm-hmm. So if we can educate more, then you get more comfortable. You, all right, I'm going to try it. You know, even if you start with your own home, some of them stay, all right, I've been meaning to redo this guest bedroom. So what a great opportunity. Try it out there, you know? And there's less pressure than having the client. So there's a lot of different ways. We also have design members who will say, okay, I don't have a physical showroom and a storefront, but I want somebody to come and sit on something. Mm-hmm. So we'll say, then do your living room with a couple of pieces, and then they can come use your home to sit in them. So, you know, sometimes that works out too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The other thing about that is that designers are more worried about people sitting in things than clients are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It's kind of like
a story. For your expertise. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow they have to sit in this when, you know, I would make sure that the husband gets to sit in his chair. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of that upholstery is just for company. You know, it's not even going to be sat in. It's just sitting there. So, you know, that worry about having to put seats, you know, put butts in seats is not really so valid after
all.
Yeah,
we really get in our head about that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we're always talking about story. What's real and what's a story? Mm-hmm. And that's one of them, right?
Yeah, it is.
And the idea that you can't have stocking dealer if you don't have a showroom is another one of those stories, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And those, you know, furniture vendors put that out. But is it actually a rule or is it not a rule? You know, once you get into the business, you discover it's actually not a rule. right? But you do have to do enough business with them to make yourself worthwhile.
Okay? Yeah, they make it difficult, but it is achievable. So generally, to open an account with a furniture manufacturer at the best price, you've got to open at a big starting order. And then you've got that yearly, you have to keep going every single year. And it's, you know, anywhere from, you know, $3,000 to $10,000, sometimes 20, just to open an account.
For the buy-in, your initial buy-in.
Yeah, your buy-in, get that good pricing. And then after that, you've every single year, you have to do, you know, 25, 30, 50,000 with that vendor every single year. So it's not impossible, but it is difficult.
Yeah, they make it challenging. This makes it easier. And by buying through another designer, which is really what's happening here, is the designers who have these stocking dealer accounts have put them within this company's organization so that you guys can use them. And what that does is help them keep those numbers up every year so they can the stocking dealer. You know, the bigger the numbers are, the better the pricing. So it just it just really supports everybody all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So the difference between buying something in a store and buying stocking dealer, percentages, what are we talking about?
You're talking between at the store, you're going to make 10%.
Yep.
Purchasing at stocking dealer, you're making 60 to 70%.
Yeah, way different.
Way different,
right?
Yeah.
Well, this is where businesses start to become highly profitable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something that we work on in IDBA, is really realizing what this stuff is coming from and knowing where you're going to get it. Because, you know, you can say, well, I'll get my own stocking dealer. Okay, you can. However, you want to make sure that A, they're the right fit. They actually, you know, you actually do like the product and you do like the customer service and you do like the way they operate and that sort of thing. And then you do have to come up with that and make that $10,000 buy-in to start with. Now, I used to just take two or three jobs and buy one upholstery, maybe open an upholstery account by doing that upholstery in all three of those houses and making one order right at once and boom, you know, which is a little bit of finagling within my business, within my studio. But that's how I did it. This really so much easier and smoother, you know, and as you get into this and as you find who your personal stocking dealer would need to be, then go out and go after it. Absolutely. And you might even come back to the collaborative and put that.
Yeah. You'd be account holder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you've got more stakeholders supporting it. So that makes quite a bit of difference. So, you know, really, what's the downside? I don't think there is. This fixes a problem that we've had for a long time. And I don't want our listeners to feel bad if you've never done anything like this before with wholesale buying and understanding the wording and that sort of thing. Heather's really good at explaining that and how that all works. And again, this is a great way to get involved in it and understand it, because obviously they don't teach it in design school.
They
don't teach it anywhere. You know, it's I learned it in bits and pieces and mistakes and corrections and that sort of thing. And you know, Heather has too. You know, it kind of stumbled your way through it until you kind of figure out how it is they do it, because they don't really tell you. Well, this is a situation where you really get to be told and educated about how this side of the business works. And then the collaboration between all of us, 500 now, which is your congratulations. That's very,
yeah.
Very, very cool. You know, that starts creating some major buying powers. So I think very, very cool and very, very supportive in designers' businesses, because, you know, we work really hard for what we're doing. And the idea that even the idea that you need to price match the internet, I think is ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
The internet, we don't know if that's a true price. We don't know if it's real. We don't know if they actually have it. We don't know if they'd stand behind it. We don't know anything about that, if that's really real or not. And it doesn't come with white glove service and the creative stuff that we do. So you know, I don't want you to feel like you need to discount to sell product, right? And you should sell it at retail like any high-end store does, right? And stand your ground. Keep your shape. One of our phrases around here lately is, you know, stand on that and keep your shape and then develop the back end of your business. And that means developing those relationships that'll give you the profits that you deserve when you create these beautiful jobs for your clients.
Yeah.
Just like that. Just like that. And again, how could somebody find out more about you?
Our website is our best tool. We've got lots of information on there and the application. That is www.thedesignerscollaborative.com. We're on, you know, the social media. You can find us on Facebook, you know, on, what's the other one? Instagram and LinkedIn, you know. So if you're needing to, if you're there, you can find us at the Designers Collaborative. The website has the application. You can even request a vendor list from us, that it's just a very simple list of the vendors.
Oh, so it's there.
Yeah. It is just a list. It's not like what you get once you've joined. But, you know, if you're hesitating because you're not sure, well, do they have this vendor? Do they have that vendor? There's a little button and you request it and we review you and then we send it out. So,
sounds terrific. And thank you so much for developing this for us as a design community, because it really is important and it really is a great tool to get designers to be profitable and to be paid what they're worth.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here, Heather. And to all of our listeners, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're hearing each week, let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on clear, proven, repeatable, step-by-step recipes for attracting ideal luxury clients I share in each episode. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. Till next week, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.